The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
And Jesus said to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. I have told you this, although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives to me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should lose nothing of what he has given to me. I should raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him up on the last day. The Gospel of the Lord. For all of this week, we are anchored into chapter 6 in the Gospel of John, which, as you know, the theology of Eucharist in the Gospel of John appears in chapter 6. The feeding of the multitude, and then a long homiletic reflection that Jesus gives on the meaning of the feeding of the multitude. It's a sign of the living bread that came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This is the theology which appears here in chapter 6 in the Gospel of John. Now, in the Semitic culture, the notion of sharing food or sharing a table has far more significance than in our understanding today. The notion of breaking bread with somebody or inviting somebody to a meal or sharing a meal was always a sign of some bonds of friendship or belonging. It was, in a sense, making a family come alive. We have some semblance of that even in our own culture here. In your homes, the table where you share meals becomes very central, very significant. Now, unfortunately, in this day and age, we have fast food and people eat in the SUV and they eat on the way here. And we may, in our culture, have lost the significance of the table. No, there was a time when families would get together every evening for a family meal, and that was very important. That's when our discussions happened. That's when reconciliation, we hope, was the grace of the moment. Even now, I have found myself that when I dine with people, if you differ with them, it's a crisis. We have arrived at such a fractured condition in the moment that instead of the table being a place of reconciliation, sadly enough, it's a place of division very frequently. I remember I had dinner a couple of years ago with a nice family, and they had three adult children and the parents, so I was right there in the middle. And somebody brought up a discussion about politics a couple of years ago. And there was a political division between the opinion of the father of the family and the young people. And I swear, it was like refereeing some kind of a massive, ridiculous, childish break in the family. And I was embarrassed by it. And nobody will listen to anybody else. In its origin, the notion of the table was a place of belonging. It's a place of welcome. It's a place of reconciliation. Now on Friday, I'll talk about who may go to the Eucharist and how we have created from a place of reconciliation and belonging, a place of sad division. But for the moment, look at the four Gospels and the meals that Jesus has. Laverdier writes that in the Gospel of Luke, there are 10 meal stories. What's interesting about the meal stories is there is no time where you will find that Jesus has a meal with those who were religious. The religious leaders, those who were rigorous, legalistic people in the business of religion, never had a meal with Jesus. Jesus invited to his table and shared the meal with sinners, tax collectors, people who are struggling, people on the margins. They're the ones that were invited to share a meal with Jesus because they were the ones who are hungry. And Jesus said, whoever is hungry will be fed with the bread of life. And therefore, the notion of yearning for the Eucharist is really essential to understanding the gift of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist and the Eucharist as a sacrament of reconciliation. Now, this requires much more discussion than we can engage now, but in the theology of the church, the Eucharist is the primary sacrament of reconciliation. Now, that needs much discussion, not confession as we understand it. The Eucharist is the primary sacrament of reconciliation. And this is where somehow, in some extraordinary moment of grace, a person says, I am connected with the person of Jesus Christ in the bread of life. I am connected with a community, since we all share the same faith, the same hunger for the Eucharist, and the same gift of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. And therefore, wherever you have division, it's an offense against the Incarnation. It's an offense against the Eucharist. In the Gospel of John, the Eucharist does not appear at the Last Supper. And Raymond Brown, the Johannine scholar, I asked him once, why is it that John doesn't have the Eucharist at the Last Supper in his Gospel? And he believed that the Gospel of John, which is very late in coming now, it's very late, maybe about 100, 110, somewhere there, that there must have been some division. There must have been some misunderstanding or division in the church of John. And therefore, John's admonition is that until you wash one another's feet, until you become humble, until you withdraw judgment about another person, until you stop excluding another person, you will not have the Eucharist. Therefore, he has the washing of the feet in his Gospel, because that is the sign of reconciliation in preparation for the Eucharist. It's rather interesting. Now, we have arrived at a place in our church where some people are even denied the Eucharist, which is something maybe we'll talk about on Friday. But I want you to get the sense of a theology of Eucharist that makes us a community. It's Eucharist that calls us to be one people. That's why it is so essential in our tradition and our understanding that we share the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is what shapes the church. The people of God make the Eucharist. The Eucharist makes the people of God. We'll talk more about that on Friday, maybe. But keep in mind the extraordinary sense of privilege, hospitality. I'll speak about hospitality. Years and years ago, I was traveling in the Sinai Desert. I was going to Mount Sinai. And I talked to some of the Bedouins. And the Bedouin desert people in the Sinai have a doctrine of hospitality, that anybody arriving at a Bedouin settlement will be welcomed into the settlement for 3 days Nobody will ask the person who you are or what you are looking for. They're just wide open. You can walk in, you can belong, nobody will question you, nobody, you'll be just totally welcome without condition. After 3 days, they will ask you, what are you seeking, or who are you, or where are you going? It's the law of the desert. It's a survival thing in some ways for the Bedouin people, because the wilderness of the desert says we should be open and welcoming to all people. I found that extraordinary, that somebody could walk into your home, stay there for 3 days, and you would bless them with a welcome. Share your food, share your home. It's an astounding sense of welcome. And it reminded me of Eucharist, a table of welcome, a table of blessing, a table of kindness, a place of peace. That must be Eucharist. Pause now for a moment of prayer.